I remember going by the, they call that out in Wyoming. What do they call them? Real jagged set of mountains? The Sawtooth. I believe it's the Sawtooth Mountains. I don't know, maybe another one. But boy, they just go up and there are these peaks. John chapter 14 and verse number 6 in your Bible, and I hope you've got your Bible turned there, is a mountain peak passage of Scripture in the Bible. When you're looking at this passage, this book, and you're reading it, when you come to John 14, 6, you are looking at a peak that's been set up there for everybody to see without mistake. Peaks and mountains become landmarks. We can tell where we're at, big that peak. We keep that peak in sight and we know where we're at. We know where we're going. We keep our bearings by keeping our eye on that peak. Landmark, and it becomes a guide to us. In one verse, this is the amazing power of Scripture. In one verse, our Lord answers the most important questions that people are asking in life. He says, I am the way, number one. Number two, I am the truth. And number three, I'm the life. Those three words are answers to these three questions that really and honestly all around you people want to know. How can I be saved? Jesus said, I'm the way. How can I be sure about where I'm headed to eternity? I'm the truth. And how can I be satisfied with my life? I am the life. And in those three simple things, Jesus Christ answers most all the junk you're hearing discussed on TV programs, radio programs, debated. He answers those three important questions. How can I be saved or forgiven or reconciled to God, find peace with God? How can I be sure that I am saved, that I'm going to heaven? And how can I be satisfied with my life? All of the answers, and this is a teaching message as well as an evangelistic message, all of these answers are bound up in two words in that text. And these are the words, I am. Now I want you to think about that for a second. His answer to the question was, I am. In order to grasp and lay a hold on the importance of those two words, you and I have to go back in the Bible to Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 14, where God had called Moses in the wilderness there to that appeared in a burning bush. And God was in that bush. That's a whole other study. That burning bush is a picture of Israel. But God was in that bush. And in that bush, He called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And Moses was hesitant and he was fearful and wondering about all this. And he said, Lord, if I go down there, who shall I say sent me? And the God of glory answered Moses with these words. You tell him, I am that I am. And if you look in your Bible, those are all caps. I am that I am. And he said, you tell them, and he goes ahead further and says this, you tell them this, that I am has sent thee. What that does is tell you who is speaking in John chapter 14. To cut to the chase real quick, Jesus Christ is the one who spoke to Moses out of the bush. I am that I am. That title of God is a very unique title in Scripture. It means that He is the self-existing, eternal one. There's never been a time when He didn't exist, and there never will be a time when He will not exist. It means that He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. He is self-existent. He doesn't need anybody else to exist. He depends on nobody else. He is all-powerful, self-existing. And the one who spoke in John chapter 14, that is, can I be honest with you, that film that you watched, which, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best testimonies I've ever heard, because I have a high interest in Jewish people being saved. When they get saved, buddy, you've seen a miracle. But that's the power of God's Word. That's fishy. That's why you need to plant seed everywhere you go. We have no idea, folks, in this church, what the seeds that this church has planted around the world is doing that we never will hear about this side of glory, I'm honest with you. Probably the man who planted that Gideon Bible in that building, in that remote, he may have never known about what you just heard about. Probably didn't. Never knew it. But this Jesus Christ in John 14 is the same God in Exodus chapter 3. Now you listen to me, I don't teach doctrine. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Listen to it tight in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who do you suppose the writer's talking about? Who is the Holy Ghost speaking of there? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is even of the as only begotten of the Father. 1 John 5, 7, watch, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. What He's teaching you there is that Jesus Christ is called the Word. Capital W-O-R-D. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This I Am is God speaking. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The same God in Genesis 1-1 is the God that spoke to the disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible said in Genesis, let us make man in our image. That's a triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The summary of what I'm preaching is the conclusive fact and evidence from rightly dividing the word of truth and comparing Scripture to Scripture that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the Creator, and the great I Am. In the book of John, which we're preaching through, there are seven statements where He says, I Am. Now let me tell you something. Again, to a Gentile mind sometimes, we don't get a hold of it. But if you had been Jewish, and when Jesus began to say, I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the door, John 10:9. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the resurrection, John 11:25. I am the true vine, John 15:1. And the seventh time is in your passage of Scripture, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. This one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. Now, hang on to your seats just a little bit. Wake up. I'm going to tell you something. The Mormons don't believe that. And they built a Mormon tabernacle up here at Mountain Grove, and nobody in this church house hates them. But we're going to tell them the truth. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They are lost and on the road to hell. I don't care if they built your grandpa's shop. Building shops for grandmas do not save people. Your Jehovah Witness family and friends are lost. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now let me tell you something. This one who is the way, the truth, and life is Jesus Christ. Notice further that He did not say, I am a way, I am a truth, and I am a life. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Those are definite articles. If you want to talk about speech and writing, it means that exclusivity, nobody else in the world. It means it's a singular. It excludes every other person and every other method or way that anybody might bring. I want to answer, first of all, the question, how can I be saved? You say, Reggie, I've been coming here 30 years. If I don't know how to be saved by now, woe is me. That's true, but not everybody here coming in this church house has been here 30 years. And you may be here this morning for your very first time. We owe it to you to make sure that when you go out that door that you knew when you left here how to be saved. That's one of the first responsibilities of a church, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, how you can be saved. He said, I am the way. How can I be saved? This is the answer. And I want to say this to us today, let the Bible do the answering. Let the Bible answer this all-important question. I want to say further away with theologians, away with preachers, away with denominational lines, away with denominational doctrines, away with personal opinions, away with professors, and away with philosophers. This Bible will tell you how to be saved. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. The jailer fell down before Paul and said, "Men and sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen to the Bible. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's not just talking about an intellectual belief. That's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that He died as the sinless substitute Lamb of God for your sins. That He died in your place and took the wrath of God that should have went to you. And He took it in His own body on the tree. It's believing that Jesus died for you and shed His blood for you. That He was crucified for you. That He was buried and that on the third day He rose again. And is placed in your faith and your trust in His death and burial. And is ceasing from all your own self-righteousness and all your own good works and all of your efforts. And is placing your entire soul at the foot of the cross trusting in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Acts 4:12, listen to this verse carefully. And I want you to notice this word saved. Because it said in Acts 6, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved is a Bible word. And you need to be saved. A man came to me one time and said, Kelly, he said, you're all the time preaching about being saved. He says, show me in the Bible where it ever says you must be saved. And I'm going to give it to you. I give it to him. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must be saved. I ask you this question today. Are you saved? Have you been saved? Notice that verse again. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praying to Mary won't save you. Kissing the Pope's feet won't save you. Allah can't save you. He doesn't even exist. Muhammad, following him, will not save you. Muslims are lost. And I'm willing to die to tell them that. They're not bluffing this preacher out. Let me tell you about them Muslims. If you don't stop right where you're at this Sunday and say no more and no further, they're going to take over your country. You better wake up. And can I say something to you? If you say, I don't like you preaching against religions. Well, you wouldn't like Jesus Christ either, because I've never been as tough as He has. Jesus Christ stood before their faces and said, you're vipers. You are serpents. You're making them more, twofold more child in hell than you are yourself. He said, you're robbers and you're thieves. And He said that to them personally, and they crucified Him for it. And they'll try to crucify you. We need to stand up in this country and realize, let me tell you right now, you do not know of a free Muslim nation, dominated nation in this world, do you? No, you don't. You don't know of one because there's not one. Never has been one, never will be one. Because it's a lie out of hell. Satan is the head of the religion and he'll never let people be free. That's bondage, exactly right, it's bondage. You're not going to follow Buddha and get to heaven. You're not going to follow Joseph Smith and get to heaven. You're not going to follow Mary Baker Eddy and get to heaven. You better throw all them names in the trash and know that Jesus Christ said, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am telling you this morning, not only that, but you're not going to go by how good you are. You're not going to go by how many times you've went to church. You're not going to go to church. You're not going to go to heaven by quitting tobacco. You're not going to go by quitting shooting up drugs. You're not going to go by quitting drinking. You're going to go by the blood of Jesus Christ or you're not going. Amen. That's just the way it is. Listen to the Bible. John 10:9. I am the door. By me. Jesus said, if any man enter in, he shall be, say it with me, saved. He said, by me, I am the door. By me, if any man enters, you'll be saved. In the Old Testament tabernacle, they had the outer court. Then they had the tabernacle. And within that tabernacle was the holy place and the most holy place. And Jesus said, all others that come before me are thieves and robbers. If you try to climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. In that Old Testament tabernacle, you had to come straight in at that door. And the first thing that you saw when you came through the door was a brazen tabernacle where the sacrifice was killed. And you had to bring your lamb in there, and you placed your hand upon the head of that lamb in the signifying that you were transferring your sins to the body of an innocent. And they took and cut that lamb's throat and drained that blood out, sprinkled it on the instruments, and burned. Burn that lamb as a picture of Calvary where Jesus died in your place. And you had an understanding that this innocent one is dying for me. And when you look at the cross of Calvary, let me tell you about salvation. Salvation is substitution. Jesus died in your place. It's all grace. It's all mercy. And it's not Him dying for you and then you living the best you can. It's not Him dying for you and you walking close. It's Him dying for you, period. He gets all the glory. You and I don't get any. He died for us. That's all you need. The Bible said in Romans 8:5-9, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, not through anything else. Not through water baptism, not through trying to be good, not by paying your bills, but saved through Him, the Bible says. I'm telling you, this Bible over and over and clear through teaches that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved is a Bible word. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore He, talking about Jesus in the verse above, is able to save them to the uttermost. Able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. Have you caught the theme in all of these verses where it talks to you about being saved? You are saved through Christ and Christ alone. So you say, Reggie, how can I be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God. Believe in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ at the cross. Can I tell you something? Quit reading your stupid books. Quit reading out to these religious idiots. And don't talk to me about it till you've read your Bible through five times. Then come talk to me. I'm so tired of dealing with people. Well, I read this book and I read that book and I read this book and they said this and they said that. Quit telling me what they said and don't talk to me about it until you've read this book. And if you're not going to believe this book and you're going to go chasing rabbits, then door to hell, I guess. I don't know what else to do with you. I'm sorry. But the Lord Jesus Christ has laid, what more can He say than to you He has said? You either believe or you don't. And have you placed your faith and your trust? Let me tell you about this preacher. I'm not trusting in anything in this world. If I die this afternoon, I'm hanging my eternal soul on the fact that Jesus Christ died and shed His blood for me on that cross, that He rose from the dead, and I believe on Him. And if that doesn't save me, I'm gone. But I'm not trusting how many times I've preached. I'm not trusting how good a guy I've been, because I've not. I am trusting alone in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. It's He that died for me. It's Him that satisfied the just demands of a holy God. He's the Savior. I'm the saved. I don't half save myself. I don't three-quarters save myself. I don't 10% save myself. He did it all. Amen. Gone is all my debt of sin. And a great change has been made within. Jesus paid it all. One of the greatest things and doctrinal beliefs you'll ever get a hold of is that Jesus Christ paid all of your sin debt. Past, present, and future. You wasn't even born when He died on the cross. He hadn't committed any of your sins yet. Not by good works. Not by rituals. Not by religion. Not by quitting this or that. Not by getting my hair cut. Not by wearing a long dress. Not by buttoning up my top button. Not by wearing long sleeves. Now I may preach tonight on five reasons that God has for clothes in the Bible. And if I come to church tonight and y'all not here, I'm going to wait till next Sunday morning. Okay. I don't know for sure what I'm going to do. Now you listen to me. You say, Red, you're kind of rough. That's right. But I want to tell you where we're at in America. America is going over the precipice. And it reminds me just like Israel did. And the whole backside of your Old Testament is full of prophets who are preaching. I'm telling you right now, from Isaiah to Malachi, that much of your Old Testament was God sending prophets to warn those people to turn from their sin. And the Bible said that He said, lift up your voice and cry aloud and spare not and show my people their sin. And they still wouldn't listen. And He hated those people. They hated preachers that preached on sin. And they killed them. And Jesus said, you're guilty from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, whom you slew between the altar and the temple. Did you hear that? They slew that prophet between the altar and the temple. And the nation went on and died, going to hell. If you want to understand anything about me at this church, you understand that that's my gift, that's my focus, that's my prism through which I operate. Is to warn, to preach, to glorify the holiness of God, to expose sin, to tell the truth. I mean, I'm telling you what, you're looking at a guy who went, if I lie, I hate my guts. I cannot stand myself whenever I practice any kind of deceit and garbage. I'm telling you something right now, truth will set you free. You need to value truth. And this is where we're coming to the next thing. Number one, how can I be saved? I'm the way. Number two, how can I be sure? Now hang on to your seatbelt this morning. Jesus said you can be sure because I'm the truth. John 17:17 says something. Listen, one of the sweetest verses of the Bible. Jesus said it. Thy word is truth. You're looking at truth right here. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall not pass away. This is where the attack is at. Truth is narrow. Truth is real narrow. Two and two is never five. Two and two is never three. Two and two is four. Truth is narrow. You say, well, you're awful narrow. That's right. This Bible's narrow. Truth is narrow. Truth is prejudiced. Truth judges. Brother Tommy was saying the other day, a Mormon walked in the place where he works the other day and told him, all you people down there at Liberty Faith hate us. That's an old trick. You know what they know? They know we don't hate us. They know we got the truth. And then he said this, you're judging us. You're right, sir. We are judging you by the Word of God. And may I say to you kids this morning something, don't you let a bunch of these 10-cent penny ante noodle bone back pink and tea lemon big preachers tell you that you're not supposed to judge people. Amen. You say, well, I thought it said in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. It does. But what about the verses where it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things? Amen. Can I tell you something? When that man said what he said to Tommy, he was judging Tommy when he told him, you hate us. He was making a judgment. He turned into a hypocrite and did it himself. He did the very thing he was accusing him of doing when he said, you hate us. He was judging us. Let him judge us. I hope everybody, can I tell you something? You're judging me while I preach and I'm judging you while you're listening. You driving your car, you coming down the road, I'm judging you whether you got enough sense to be in that thing or not. I'm watching. You're judging all the time. You're going to get married someday, you better learn how to judge. Some boy comes up to you and he acts like he's the sweetest thing since sugar. You better do some judging. She will. She might do some knocking, you reckon? I'm saying this, listen, don't you that bit. Truth judges. Hey, how many's got a ruler in? How many knows what a tape measure is? Somebody says, I believe that's a foot and a half long. Somebody says, I believe it's a foot and 3 inches long. Well, let's get a measurement and find out what it is. That Bible's the measuring tape. And I'm going to tell you what, an inch is an inch, and I don't care where you at. Your inch got to be the same inch. Amen? Listen, don't believe. I'm so sick and tired. Well, we got preachers now. They're afraid to say anything for fear of congregation. They say, well, you're judging. You got it. We're judging. Somebody says you preach against sodomites. You're judging. Yep, judging. God says they're an abomination. They're going to hell. I'm judging. According to that book, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. It's not that judge not that you be not judged. It's when I'm judging you on my based on my personal opinion about things. That's different than judging something by the Bible. Or based upon a truth of the Bible. Truth is absolute. It's intolerant. It's dogmatic. We're teaching a generation of young people that there is no truth. We're teaching that everything is relevant. That's not so. We are a certain distance from the sun. There is a law of gravity and you can't change it. Now you can have another law to override it, but you can't change that law. There is truth all around you. How can you be sure? Now I'm going to say, let's say that you got saved. Here's the biggest trick going on in the country. Most denominations in America do not believe that you can know that you're saved. That's a fact. And you ask them, well, are you saved? Well, I hope so. And that word hope, they've taken it and changed it. It don't even mean hope anymore. Hope in the Bible is a well-founded, well-grounded knowing that what God said He would do, He'll do. There ain't no joking around about it. You know. All right? Now, wait a minute. I sense a little bit of, boy, you're being awful dogmatic this morning. That lady told me one time, she says, Reggie, my daughter came to church. She came down to visit me and we went to church and I was praying. You'd be real nice and calm that day. She said, Lord, don't let Reggie get all wound up. And she said, I never seen you any more wild than you was that day. I'll tell you something. You know what? I grew up in a country where we had preaching. How many members when we had preaching? I'll tell you, you went to church, if they didn't preach on sin, you got mad at the preacher. What's the matter with you? A coward anymore? What's got into you? This country was not built on penny any pink tea and lemonade, purple, yellow, and orange stuff. It wasn't built on preachers running down the middle of the road licking up yellow stripes. It's built, said, I'm on the right side of the road. How many things you can know if you're on the right side of the road or not? Well, you can know spiritually whether you're on the right side of the road or not. Amen? The Bible said about Jesus Christ, He said He didn't speak unto them as unto the scribes, but He said He spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's why the devil wants to get you away from the Word of God. Now you say, Reggie, can I know that I'm saved? You bet you can. I want you to take your Bibles now. I want to take your Bibles. And I've been amazed how many times, when I used to preach revival meetings and somebody would get saved, after they got saved, I'd always take them to turn to 1 John chapter 5. Did I not give it to you? I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. Everybody get there. Now I'm going to wait all afternoon on you. I'm going to sit down over here till everybody gets there. You say, well, I didn't bring a Bible with me. Tell that guy beside you, that lady beside you, scoot over here. I got to read with you. I want to get out of here after a while. Everybody got it? Say amen. Everybody got it? Say amen. 1 John chapter 5. Now this is the Bible. This is in the Sears and Roebuck catalog and this is in the New York Times. This is in the USA Today World Report. This is the Bible. Are you listening? 1 John chapter 5 verse number 11. Let's look at it. And this is the record. They've got records over in the courthouse about things. About your birth and about your marriage and all kinds of stuff. About your property and all kinds of... How many things you put any stock in the records over the courthouse? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. If you put stock in the records at the courthouse, you ought to put stock in the records up in heaven. And God's got a record. Here's the record. He said, this is the record that God hath given us to us what? By the way, He gave it. You didn't purchase it. You didn't earn it. You didn't merit it. He gave it to you. Now I want to ask you another question. What's eternal mean? If it ever stopped, was it eternal to start with? Couldn't have been. Let's just take it for what it says. And by the way, guess what happened? You didn't have to have a Hebrew and Greek scholar to figure that out for you either. I wouldn't give you a dime for all that stuff. All that's about is trying to make you look superior and make everybody else look stupid. It's called in the Bible the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It's where the laity is over the common. It's where you get your shoes Nike. It means to conquer the laity. And you conquer them by making them think you know the Bible and they can't know it without you telling them about it. Anybody in this church house can read what I'm reading and get the same thing. I ain't got no spiritual deal. I just read my Bible one day. Look what it says. He said, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in you getting baptized. Hey, y'all still there? You say, man, you all excited about this. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because all this stuff determines about whether man goes to heaven or hell forever. This is important stuff. Way more important than your iPhone. All right, here it is. I just stole these glasses from Brother Bradley. Thank you. He said, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in what? What Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. Verse number 12. Watch this. Now watch this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Real simple. You either have Jesus Christ as your Savior or you don't. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost and on the road to hell. Pure, simple. Watch the next verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto who? You that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Not that ye may wonder. Not that you may hope so, wish so, might be, could be, maybe. That you may know that you what? Have. What's have mean? That's a present tense possessional verb. That means you got it now. You know something? I want to ask somebody. How many here's married? Raise your hand. How many of you know it? He said, well, I didn't know you could know. Don't tell your wife that. She'll slap you with a frying pan. You can know you're married. How many know you're here? So I said, I'm here because they ain't all there. I want to tell you something. Isn't it funny that you know everything else in life, but you don't know whether you're saved or not? Now, I want to tell you something. I don't want you leaving this building today not knowing whether you're lost or saved. You may not be saved, but if you're not, I want you to know you ain't saved. And if you're saved, I want you to know you're saved. And saved means you've got Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been given eternal life, and you can know it. Now you say, but yeah, but Reggie, last week the devil come and he talked to me. And he told me there ain't no way in the world you'd know till you died. He's a liar. And he doesn't want you reading the book. And another thing, some of you are going to sit in the church house all your life long. And I can name the names of a few of them around here. And they ain't never going to tell you that verse. They'll never do what I just did for you. They will never preach to you that you can know that you're saved. Let me just tell you what Apostle Paul said. Let's see. Paul, what do you think? Can a man know? Can a man be sure? So let me give you some truth. I know in whom I believed. And I am persuaded, Paul said, that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Did you get that? He said he is able to keep that which I committed unto him. So you committed to Christ. Who's keeping? Christ is. Well, Peter, you walk with the Lord. You said, you say, hey, Peter, can you know you're saved? 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Peter said, you're kept by the power of God. You're not kept by what you're doing. You're kept by the power of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need an old-time, good old-fashioned dose of the teaching, the doctrine of salvation in this country. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love my brethren. I'm not saying they're lost. They're just riding second class. You and the church teaches that you lose your salvation, you're almost riding on the wings instead of in the plane. Why don't you get in the plane, set back, and enjoy the flight? Somebody says, how you doing? Oh, I'm hanging in there. Quit it. Quit hanging in there. Ain't no place in the Bible God tells you to hang in there to be saved. Can I tell you something? Noah's ark is a picture of Christ. And God put him in the ark God shut the door. God sealed the door. And they just served God in the ark. And the wrath of God was flooding against that ark. And the worse it got, the higher they went. You're kept by the power of God. Hey, I want you to know this. I'll die believing this. I'll tell you why. Because this is true. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Believe me. You can know you're saved. You can be sure about it. You say, boy, I just don't feel like it, Brother Riz. Yeah, I wouldn't either if I'd been watching pornography. That's what'll make you think you're lost. See, well, I didn't feel last week, I didn't feel like I was saved. Well, I wouldn't either if I missed Sunday. Well, the devil tormented me to death and said, what's wrong with you? You couldn't be saved. I want to tell you something. Listen, you're saved not by your feelings. Now listen to me. There's a train to go ahead. And the engine is faith. And the cars are facts. And the caboose is your feeling. Now you listen to me. That train can run without that caboose. But you can't run without faith. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'm telling you something this morning that you better understand. It's not how you feel whether you're saved or not. You're saved by knowing the Word of God. Amen and amen. John 10:27. Can you be sure? Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Well, what are you going to do? Call him a liar? Say, Jesus, you ain't giving up. I don't believe that. All over this country. I'm everybody's favorite preacher. That Kelly down there, he preaches that you don't never lose it. He don't preach that you don't lose your salvation. I'll tell you one thing, he's going to burn in hell for that. Oh, really? Well, in order you can believe that, you got to start tearing the pages out of your Bible. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now, I want to tell you something right now. Now, some of you Baptists who've been carrying the torch, and I thank God for the Baptists, all right. But in Baptists, they went around, some of them got so lax that they said, well, you can be saved, you can go out and do anything you want to, live anyway. Well, by the way, you know something else? I've met a lot of Baptists in my life. I really haven't met one yet that really believe that. It's mostly the crowd that believes you can lose your salvation accusing them of that. I haven't run into a Baptist preacher yet and told me, hey, Kelly, I can go out and live any way I want to and just go to heaven. I ain't never had them tell me that, but I've had a lot of people who are not sure about their salvation, who believe you lose your salvation, tell me, I ain't Baptist. They believe you can go down to a bar and drink and go to heaven. Woo! Get a little tired in here. I'm just telling you, that's a fact. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have eternal life now, I want to know something. What you got to do to lose it? Yeah. I don't know, but there's a place. There's just a place where you can lose it. Well, where's the place? I need to know. Here. Is it drinking, smoking, fornicating, adultery? Where do I lose it? Yep. Well, it's certainly not gossiping. Gossiping don't lose your salvation. Woo! We're having a good time this morning, aren't we? Amen. Talking about your neighbors and lying on your tax form won't lose it. I've tried it. Well, what lose it? Well, I don't know, but you can lose it. What verse? What chapter? And then I like to pull the sword out and go, shoop. How about old Lot down there in Sodom? God called him a just man. I wouldn't have. What about David? He's a man after God's own heart. Had a man killed and stole his wife. You say you're advocating that? No, and God ain't either. And God chastised the fire out of him. He never got over it. The rest of his life, he suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered, and he reaped and he reaped and he reaped, and God chastises his children. Boy, I want to tell you something. I'm talking about the truth this morning. I want to preach the truth. You know what? It just feels good to preach the truth. I hope it feels as good to you to hear it as it does me preaching it. How can you be sure? Well, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Let's see, which is it? Romans or Acts? Acts, Romans, which one is it? Romans, is Romans after Acts or before? Come on now, let's have a little bit of a good time in here this morning. Hey, you say, well now, Reggie, I don't know about that. Well, in the Old Testament, there, you know what Job said? And Job's supposedly the oldest book written in the Bible. You know what Job said in Job 19? I know! I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I'm going to see Him in the latter day. I know that those worms eat this old body up. I know I'm going to live again. Job said that. He didn't even have the King James Bible. We got in our generation, we can't know nothing. Romans chapter 8. I like to preach in such a way it makes the devil mad. And it generally does. So if you're mad, whose side you on? Verse 35, everybody there say amen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, count sleep to the slaughter. Nobody likes that verse. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you caught that woman saying a while ago on that movie right there? She said, well, I got to wondering if I can. What if I died before Hanukkah got here again? Well, let me tell you a story. I was teaching Sunday school. Did you know Sunday school teachers can be lost? Did you know preachers can be lost? Yeah. They lost the false prophets. I was a lost Sunday school teacher teaching teenage class in Oak Forest Church when I was probably about 19 years old, 20 years old. Now I'm teaching class. Boy raised his hand up. Said, Reggie? I said, yeah. He said, I want to know something. He said, me and my brother go rabbit hunting all the time on Sunday afternoons. He said, if we're rabbit hunting this afternoon, we're going down a hill, and I'm in front of my brother, and he's behind me, he's got his .22, and he said, I'm thinking about a girl in a way I really ought not be thinking about, and he slips and falls, and his gun goes off, and the bullet goes through my head and kills me instantly. Am I going to go to heaven or hell? And at that time, I believed you could lose your salvation. You know what, Dean? I was too big of a coward. First of all, I didn't know the Bible. I was just repeating what preachers have been preaching all my life. Didn't have a clue what the Bible said about that. There's an honest boy. Just wanted to know where we're at. Because it can happen. Can I tell most of you this? You're going to die without having confessed all your sins. But I got good news for you about that too. I got news for you. You're not even going to know their sins in your life to confess. The Bible calls them sins of ignorance. And did you know in the Old Testament there was an offering which pictured Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the people's ignorance? Woo! Glory to God! I got a God who's given His Son to die for my sin and the stupid sins of my ignorance that I never know I committed. That's Bible. Jesus Christ fulfilled all those Old Testament sacrifices. That's why you need to study them, because that's what you'll see what He did. And sins of ignorance and stuff I didn't even know I did. Jesus died from sins of ignorance. Whew, mercy, strength of life. What a Savior. What a Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, I just make this story short. That boy got me to thinking. And I never could get that question out of my mind because I didn't have an answer. You know why I didn't have an answer? Because I didn't have the truth. And that boy wasn't stupid. He went on to be a doctor. A very successful doctor. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 says God made a covenant. And He ratified it with immutable promises in which it's impossible for God to lie. God said, the covenant I made with you, He said, it's non-reversible. It's settled and done and over with, and God don't lie about it. You say, Reggie, how can I be saved? How many figured out now you can be sure? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Period. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Can I tell you something? You'll never be worth a rag nickel to God until you get your salvation settled and know you're saved. I'm just being honest with you. And by the way, I want to say one more thing before I move on to my next 16 points. I got one more. I would not want to worship a God, Brother Terry, who wouldn't let me know whether I'm saved or not. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Is that your mama? Is that your daddy? How do you know? They told you so, didn't they? Now you listen to me, but there's a way to know beyond them telling you so. It's called blood test and DNA. Now, how would you like it if tomorrow morning Kenny got up and said, I don't know whether you're my daughter or not? What if your mama got up and said, you know, your dad and I was talking last night. We're not sure whether you're our child or not. Wouldn't that be miserable? One day maybe you was, one maybe day you wasn't. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. These parents are not going to do that girl. They're not going to do that. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your father in heaven give good gifts to them that love him? I'm going to tell you something. God does not want you wandering through life. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I don't know whether I die and go to heaven. You either have Jesus Christ as your Savior or you do not. Number three. Number one, how can I be saved? I'm the way. Number two, how can I be sure? I'm the truth. Number three, how can I be satisfied? I'm the life. I'm alive. I want to tell you something. I'm preaching to you from my heart now. In this mountain, in this journey, there are valleys. It's rough sometimes. But Brother Bill, I'm satisfied. When I'm in the darkest valley, when I'm in the darkest valley of my life, I'm still satisfied. Jesus Christ literally and honestly satisfies me. And I want to tell you something. It's because he has life and he has imputed to me. And he said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I want to tell you about his life. His life is for most people, not all, to have a mate in life. I want to tell you what. Oh, we've had our bumps and our throes, but man alive. What a life. I lay on my dying deathbed thanking God for care. We've had a time. We've cried and we've laughed. But I'll tell you, we've had a time. And it's because of his life. Amen. God gave us 6-7 children. Man, what a time. My whole world is wrapped up in seeing our children serve God. That's all I want. That's all I want. I want every descendant of mine saved. Every one of them. I don't want one descendant dying going to hell. And I'm telling you something. There came a time in our life when I shifted from the way the world does it to his life. And I want to tell you something. God has been good to us. It counts. It matters. And it works. In what you're doing, God can give life and meaning and purpose. You can be driving to work tomorrow, and you may have the sorriest boss in the country, and he may be a jerk. But you know something? God can give you life in the midst of that. That's why the Bible said, as you work unto the Lord, not unto men. Not as men pleasers, but unto the Lord. I want to tell you something. God can put a song in your heart. God has put life in me. I'm telling you something. You say, Reggie, what are you so enthused about? I'll tell you what. I've just got life in me. I don't know how to explain it. There's somebody who lives inside me. And he has given me life and life more abundantly. And I'm just the happiest of I'm telling you, I'm the happiest of hog and slop. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm not lying to you. I'm not just preaching to you. I am telling you, he's life. He is life. Let me tell you, liquor is death. Drugs is death. Dope is death. Immorality is death. Lying and cheating and all the world's got is death. But Christ gives life. And I want you to have that life. You say, Reggie, I can be satisfied. I'm satisfied. Do you say everything go good for you all the time? No, it don't go good for me all the time. But even in the bad times, I'm still saying, well, I mean, what am I going to do? Where can I go? Who else can I turn to? And it's even been in the rough times that God's shown me more things than I've ever seen on the mountaintop. I'm just saying to you, he is life. Thou will show me the path of life. Psalm 16:11. Thou will show me. Oh, I tell you what Jesus said. And I'll close with this. They were hitting him with all this junk about the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why I don't want no dead church services. That's why I don't want no dead preaching. That's why I don't want no dead singing. I don't want to be in a dead church. Amen. I want to be in church where there's a smile and a handshake and how you doing and good to see you. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. So, how can you be saved? He's the way. How can you be sure? He's the truth. How can you be satisfied? Live His life. Let Him live through you. Let's stand and go home.